In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields the seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and the seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creature, creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, And every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. So also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And so it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the New Testament and the book of John, chapter 1, as we begin this series, as we enter into Christmas, just one verse for us, and also to continue our series, which we've been on, where we've been considering the lack of truth in modern-day society. And we need truth. A society without truth is in a desperate place. And we are learning, are we not, the hard way, that you cannot live without truth. That's why we have these inquiries. We need it in our parliament. We certainly need it in the law courts. We definitely need it in churches. And we need it in schools. We need it, do we not, in our hearts. But you may have come to the place in your life where you actually think to yourself, who can I believe? Who can I trust? Is there anyone who is telling me the truth about anything? The war in Gaza, the war in Russia, the things that children are taught in school. We've come to a day where we call darkness light and light the darkness. And there's one little verse which I have for you this morning. It's taken from John chapter 1 and verse 9. And here's the verse for us. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. That was the true light, which enlightens every man who was coming in to the world. And what you have here in John's Gospel is the wonderful prologue of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Word, who came in to this world. God is light, and God has come to us in the person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And what John does here in this verse, as he sets it out, he tells us that Jesus is the true light. Now, in the world, even when John was writing, there were those which were looking to Rome with all its power and pomp, with all its influence, and they looked to Rome for light in the world. In the world that John wrote, there were those Greeks which had been for hundreds of years dispelling ignorance and giving knowledge, so to speak, to the world. Yet John wants to tell you, there is a true light which has come into the world. In that day, they were the Jews, and they had those shadows of the things of the tabernacle, which were to speak to us about God and point us in that way. But now John wants to tell you that there's one which has come, which is the true light, which enlightens every man. And this day, just a number of things for us to think of, even in this verse, of what this implies this morning. When John says, that was the true light, he implies, does he not, that in this world there is false light, reflective light, artificial light, but there's one who is the true light. Don't think that you just live in a world of Star Wars, where all the goodies are dressed in white and all the baddies are dressed in black. It doesn't work like that. In the world in which we live in a world which is filled with false lights. Now, many years ago, we know that the Cornish coast is scattered with sunken vessels. And one of the reasons for that was this, is that as the ships used to come up the channel, into the English Channel, filled with their cargo and their bounty, and on stormy nights, perhaps they will be those of the village which will put out their lantern to call the ships to safety, so they believed. Yet people know that there were whole communities involved, and instead of drawing them into safety, they drew them onto the rocks in which there was destruction. And in this world in which you find, there are many false lights this day which lead your life and can lead unto destruction. And you need to know of that true light. And look, you need to be so careful. Even the Bible tells us that. Do you know that even in this world, in the church, there are false lights? Paul tells them, for example, there it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So it's no, therefore, a great thing for his ministers also to transform themselves. And when you come to such places, do you not realize in places of his church, there will be those who will be shining false lights? And so it is, he says, you beware. And when you come into this world too, when you think of all the religions of the world, I got news for you, where billions of people are following the false light. You think of just a number of weeks ago and the festival of, what is it? Diwali, thank you very much. And if you were watching Dechrau Canu, you can't actually believe it, can you? That on that program, which was given over at one time, obviously, to the Welsh chapel singing, to the great hymns that we've got, which have fed people for hundreds of years. Williams, Pantekelling, Bread of Heaven, they still sing it. You know, in rugby, you think of Anne Griffiths' hymns. Do you know that people come from the East and from Japan who are not even Christians, which are astounded at these hymns? I see him among the myrtle tree. And absorbed by the teaching and the story of these great poems that she heard. Why on earth would you put on Dechrau Canu? Why would you come and put the false Hindu festival of Diwali with this false god of prosperity? And you begin to realize, I got news for you, these are not true gods, they're false gods. With false religion, with no reality, which is then behind them. And the world is filled with such lights this day, and we find it even in this nation. They say to you, it doesn't matter if it's true, it doesn't mind if it's just a myth. It's not the problem that these things can't be proved or verified. The only thing that is important, that it helps, and it makes people feel better. Listen, this is the true light which comes into the world. And do you not know yourself, even in your own heart? Let's bring it closer to home. Let's not just point the finger. Let's do something else. Because people talk about their lives, about that little instinct they've got. They've got some intuition that they move by. They've got those kind of reflexes that they believe is always guiding them into the right path to know what to do at the right time. Let your heart tell you and you'll find the way. Look, the Bible tells you the heart is dark, deceitful, above all things. It'll take you here and take you there. Of all the things I'm frightened of in this world today, I'm not frightened of wars and of bombs. Frightened of that? That's what's in you. That can bring you down in a moment. And you know, Jesus says that if the light which is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And there'll be people who'll be telling you, I've got that inner light. And the Bible tells us It's as dark as it could possibly be. And you know yourself, false and full of sin I am. Thou art full of grace and truth. And so you see, as John opens up. Now, please, I'm just giving you these lights which people lead their lives on. And who can remember the wonderful period in our history which was caused the Great Enlightenment? And on that Great Enlightenment, which the progress of human race was to progress with its learning and its scientific knowledge and the opening up of the whole world, and the torch was held before us, smashed 1914, smashed 1939, smashed even this very day in Gaza. Do you believe it? Do you believe that now? That your hope in science, modern technology, the things the world has got for us, you believe it for a moment that could give you a hope and a future and peace? Of course not. But the torch was held and it was snuffed out. And then you've got, thinking of the lights, you think of the lights which are all around us. Christmas is full of lights. Christmas lights, world lights. Some of you have been to New York in Times Square. Those lights are never turned off. Whatever happens, the electricity bill must be massive. But there it is. It's there for all. And you remember, and you go to New York, there's the Statue of Liberty, and she holds the torch. And people came looking for their hope and a future, looking for life, looking for happiness. And you know yourself. The lights of the world, what have they done for you? And where have they led you? The path you've been on. And you found all the promises which were made and all the things which are said. They're false. This is the light which is in the world. But now, John tells us this wonderful news. That was the true light which enlightens every man has come into the world. And the second thing I want to just simply say to you this morning is this, is what it tells us here about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is interesting in itself, that the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, is not the fake light. He's not the reflective light. He's not the artificial light. He is the true light. That is now, he is the reality of light. He is the reality itself. I know that when you think of the world in which we live, and it's really interesting, it's full of beauty and full of splendor. But you think now, when you go out at night, have you ever thought of this? When you go out at night on a clear night, and the moon is shining, and all the stars are glittering, filling the night sky with its glory. You know, don't you? Not one of those stars shines by itself. You know that. Every star on the moon is a reflection of the light which comes from the sun. There is no light on the moon, and there's no light in the stars. They're like dead planets. But they derive their light from the sun. Now, all that is very, very fascinating indeed. Because when you read the first chapter of Genesis, I must say, I'm no scientist. It took me years to realize, the light doesn't even come from the sun. You find it there, don't you? In the first chapter, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then on the fourth day, he made the great sun, and he made the moon. On the fourth day, what happened to the days before? And the scientist tells you, they don't know where light comes from. They don't know how it operates in this universe. But I want to just show you now that the Lord Jesus Christ is not derived light, but he's the true light. Now you find that, for example, in verse then 8, and you find it here, where he speaks of John the Baptist, who came to bear witness of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, for example, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Here it is in verse 8. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And so it is now that when you speak of John, and Jesus actually said of John the Baptist, he said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? He said, I tell you when, you went out and you saw a bright and burning light. That's what John was. He was someone now who was showing the way, paving the way, but he was not the light. Remember that. And if anybody who's here this morning who comes to a place of worship and you are looking for that path, I want you to find the true light. Now, Jesus says to each and every one of his disciples, you are the light of the world. Remember that. Even if you're not burning brightly, there is no other light but that which God has given you concerning God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You are that light of the world. The church is to be a light within this very place, a candlestick burning brightly. But I want you to learn, and please hear it carefully. You may have come and you may have seen some Christians, and those Christians that you have been let down on, they have disappointed you. You know what it is that you've gone to a place of worship and somehow you can't go there again because you've known of the hurt and the sorrow and the bitterness. All I can say to you is this. It's not the true light. It's like the moon. When you look at the moon with those black spots which are upon it, the sun shines and you can see the black spots. And so it is in our own lives. There'll be Christians, they will do some nasty things. But you always remember this. He is the true light. Only him. And when they leave you down, and when things are not shining as bright as they are, it's to him you're always looking. To him you must be guided. He is the one. You see, he is the one which is the unreflected light. Now in creation, all around you, there's an incredible reflection of the beauty and the power and the holiness of God. Even the Godhead is known from creation as you begin to look at it and you see it, but it's only that reflection. But you know the world is stained with sin and darkness and blood and hatred and killing. And God said, let there be light, and it was good. And when he made the day, it was good. And he made trees and it was good. And he made then the cattle, it was good. Sin stained it. There's still enough to point you that there is a God, but it's been marred. You think of the Old Testament, which you've got of the Jews. They were there in the world, and the temple was there, the Holy of Holies, the great candlestick, the sacrifices. That was a light to the world. But as the Bible says, they were only shadows of the light and the sacrifice and the presence of God which was to come. Now listen to this verse. Listen to it carefully. It's very important. That was the true light which enlightens every man has come into the world. See, in John's Gospel, we're told this great and wonderful news. And the news is this, that the light that you're looking for this day is that which comes from above. Not that which is found in this world, in any place, no matter how many insights and intuition and knowledge we may receive. The gospel this morning is the news of John's gospel as Jesus says to us, I am not of this world. I am from above. As the gospel tells us, the Father has sent his Son into the world. As the Lord Jesus tells No one has ascended into heaven but the Son of Man who came from heaven. He's the one who speaks to you. And the news that we've got this morning in Jesus Christ, and if you ever want to know the true way, always ask this. Where did this wisdom come from? I know there are people in their schools and universities, in their tribes, in their cultures. You think of it, don't you? You think of all that. But it's all the wisdom of this world. And God has come and he tells us in this wonderful verse, that in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he's come and he's revealed him. And that shows us he has come into the world. For God so loved the world, this world, the world which turned against him, the world marred in rebellion, the world which hates him, had no time for him. But God so loved the world that he sent his Son and gave him even unto Calvary. And when you're thinking today, I'm lost, I need to find a way, it is the true light, not the fake light, not the reflective light, not the artificial light. He is the one who stands behind it all. He is the light. And then thirdly, very simply, it's that then which is not fake, it's that which is true, and I want you to look, it's that light which permeates into every man. Permeates, enlightens every man. Everyone who comes into this world, there's something now of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning which is different, which stands out from all other lights, and it's this. Just take a thought for it for a moment. We've turned on the light in this chapel, and it only lights this room. This light does not affect downstairs. It may affect a little house here and a little house there, but it only affects this room. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world. And he is the one, you see, who is like the light when the sun rises in the morning. It doesn't just light your house, it's the whole street. It's the nation of Wales. It's the Western continent. And he comes and it permeates into every space. So it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come into this world. And the incredible thing is this, is that as he tells us, he is the one who lightens every man. Now, you need to know something about God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is the triune God, and he is the one who dwells in light, light immortal. He is the one who dwells in light in which no one can approach. He is the Holy One. When we don't know where light comes from, the Bible tells us quite clearly, God is light. And when he said, let there be light, you have it all here in the first chapter. Here it is. Here it is in John chapter 1. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. It shines through him. Now, first of all today, you may not realize it, even if you're not a Christian, but you need to know this, that the only way that you're living today is because the light of the Lord Jesus Christ has shined on this world, which you are a recipient. He is that physical light, first of all, by which we all come and enjoy that warmth and that sight that we do have. He is that physical light. He really is. And he shines on all men. Mr. Putin, Hamas terrorists, the good and the evil, have all experienced something this day of the new day which is dawning and light which shines from our great God. He is the one who comes, and he tells us in his word, Jesus tells us that. He says, do you not know that my Father in heaven is the one who makes it rain upon the good and upon the evil, and he makes it shine upon the good and upon the evil? Do you not know? And you read the scriptures, Psalm 136, as you hear, that he is merciful to all. There is something of that, where God is the Saviour of all men, but especially of those who believe. And it's like this. You've come here this morning, and I'm not saying that everybody in this place is going to heaven. Forget it. That is nonsense. I've never been in a meeting where I think that could possibly be. But what you have is this. It's enlightened you. You have sat. You've had no doubt about it. You have learned. Your mind has been illuminated. You've been affected. You've had hope. You've been given joy. You have sat here many times. And look, there's been light which has been shed, which has affected your life in so many ways. And we live in such a nation as that, which has known the gospel and their lives have been affected. Not that people have all been saved, as I'll show you now. But I just want to show you that that permeates even in this place today. There's no one who's going to be unaffected going from this place. Or your hearts may be softened by the heat. Other hearts may be hardened by the heat and by the light. But he's the one, I assure you, who enlightens every man. That was what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. It is incredible when you come and think about it. What happened when he was there? They came and they heard his loving words. And people, lives were built up. The brokenhearted were lifted. Those which were distraught found some hope. And not only that, you know what happened? The crowds came to him. You see, your light and my light. I learned something reading that famous astronomer, inventor, Galileo Galilei. And Galileo Galilei said these words, I wrote them down. He said, I've never met a person so ignorant that I could not learn from. And that's true for, look, every one of us here. I've never met a person, even in this place, which I've not been able to learn from. Something about your life, your patience, your kindness, some goodness, something that you said. But you know that your light is only contained to those of your family and your loved ones. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He's the one who lightens every man. And they came to him. You read it. The Roman soldiers came to him. The Greeks traveled to meet him. They came from other countries round about. No matter who they were, they came to bask in his light and the words which he spoke, the mighty deeds which he did, the dead which he raised, the people which he fed. And they came, and especially of the Calvary in which he died. And you know today, you do know, don't you? It's his light which lightens every man. Could I just, I won't be long, but just to say to you, you want to know God today? He is the revelation who has come from the bosom of the Father. You want to know who God is? He's not a force. He's there in heaven. He is the Heavenly Father because he's always had a son. He's the eternal God. And he is full of peace and of love and of mercy and of kindness and of truth, and of justice. And you say, how would you know? Because Jesus Christ showed me in that gospel, in every word that he says, every deed that he does, has there any been someone who's lived like him and the compassion which he has? And you can know God this day in Jesus Christ. And not only that, you know that he's the one who's come to show you yourself. When he shines upon you and shines into your heart, no one has revealed. You want to know yourself? come to Jesus. You want to find yourself? You're lost. Come to Jesus. There's light which will shine upon your heart, which will show you your condition, which will reveal what we are. And there's light which will show you and show you the path in which you can be saved. And of the death which he died, and the remedies got for you, and the empty grave, and the victory over death, and the great blessings that he's given, you come to him, and you can know of that resurrection life. He's the one who shows the Father, he shows you yourself, he shows you the way you should go, and he shows you the things of salvation. He does that. He is the true light. He's not faking it. He's not false. He's not reflective. You come to him and you will know light. Can I tell you, this morning, Jesus Christ has lightened up many a deathbed, many a deathbed. When loved ones are drawn away, he's the only one who has rays which can come upon a deathbed to give hope and of a future and of heaven and of glory. Jesus Christ is the only one this day who has given light into the darkest pit where the sun can never shine. Jesus Christ can come there and he can give you that comfort and that hope and that which you desperately need. He's done that. Jesus Christ is the one who's shined into people's lives, and he is shining, and he is always shining, and he lightens every man. But there's no one from France here, is there? From France. Lovely country. Lovely weather. Lovely sun. But if you've been to France, you'll notice they have something that we don't have. They have shutters upon their windows. Shutters upon their windows. And when the light comes, they close the shutters during the day. And then you live in your little dark room. It could be like that this morning. I've come to tell you this great and wonderful, great news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people put up the shutters that light may not shine in to give life, to reveal his glory, to show us ourselves so we can come to the Lord Jesus. Look, you need to open those shutters. You need to let him shine in. Let his rays penetrate upon you. I know people say, I'm closing the shutters. No going to a place of worship. You can do that as much as you like, but you know this, don't you? The light still shines. You have not stopped the light shining. He's the one who does that, and he enlightens every man.